You're listening to the Gospel Project for Adults Weekly Leader Training, helping you guide your group through its study of the storyline of Scripture. Hey there, thanks for joining us for the Weekly Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Adults. I'm Aaron Armstrong, and with me is Daniel Davis, the content editor for the Gospel Project for Adults. Today, we are discussing Unit 22, Session 3, which is called Jesus Heals a Man at Bethesda. So, Daniel, we've got a good one here. Can you tell me what this session is about?
This one doesn't give it all away on the nose.
No.
There is a healing. The man is at Bethesda. The healing of a paralyzed man who'd been living on the divide between hope and hopelessness for years. He'd seen what he thought was the place of his healing just a few feet away, but he could never reach it in time. And he had no one to be able to help him to do so. That was until Jesus came along.
Right.
I think that's a nice stopping point just to set that up, tee it up.
That's good. That's a good tease for the session. I appreciate that. So there's a lot that we can take away from this session, but what would you say is the most important thing for our groups to get out of this?
Say that Jesus's miracle and his claims that we'll look in this session reveal that he is God. He's the second person of the Trinity, and that we, as believers, we follow the God-man, not just a glorified human being. We've probably all been taught that. We maybe just instinctively know that, but do we think on it? Do we dwell on that? Probably not as much as we should. He's not a glorified man. He is the God-man. And his faith in Jesus takes this into account. The Jews understood the implications of what Jesus was talking about. They understood the implications of his actions. And because they understood that, they sought to kill him because they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So the question is going to come to us. Either we will believe Jesus is the Son of God, or we will reject him as a liar and a lunatic. Either we will believe him or we don't.
Yeah, and that's really important too. I mean, just right there, even that whole issue of you can't really be passive about Jesus. You can't ignore him that easily because of what he says. And you may find that there are people in your groups who have never really thought about that. And what that means is that they really, truly haven't thought deeply about the Christian faith at all, even if they are professing believers. And so this is an opportunity to really dig into something that's core to what it means to be a Christian, to, I think, in a healthy way, challenge one another as well. Something you mentioned in your takeaway, you know, you're talking about God, about Jesus being God, being the second person of the Trinity. And that, of course, is one of the essential doctrines that's in this session. And for you as a group leader, know that if you have the opportunity to play any sort of video component, we have a quick video explanation of the Trinity that is available to you. If you go to gospelproject.com/99-essentials, you can find it and a video for, actually probably by now, just about half of all of the essential doctrines that we include as part of the study. Those are completely free and accessible to you. You can show them in your class. You can share them with your group. Do whatever you got to do with them. So that's a little bonus treat for you guys. Now, in light of that, that kind of leads into our challenges or opportunities, places where we're going to need to spend some additional time in this session. I'm going to camp out there for a minute real quick on the Trinity, if that's okay, Daniel.
Sure.
Okay, cool. So one of the things that we really, really want to be careful of in our group time is we really do not want to use analogies to try to explain the Trinity. Analogies always go badly.
Oh, come on, Patrick.
Exactly. Thank you. If you want, you can even show that video in your group if they've got a good sense of humor. But And if you've got a good sense of humor, you already know what video I'm talking about. So I'm not even gonna, say what it is. But but typically what happens with an analogy around the Trinity is what we're trying to do is we're trying to compare it to something that we can understand. And that in itself is the problem. The Trinity is incomparable. There's literally nothing else like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons who are all equally and fully God and yet not one another. We do not know how this works. We do not understand it. It is something that is so far above our comprehension level, and yet we know that it is true because it's the only way that anything that happens in the Bible makes any sense at all. And so as you're leading through this session with your group, emphasize the truth of the full divinity and personhood of each member of the Trinity, while at the same time refusing to make it easy but incorrect for your group members. So that's kind of my big takeaway from this session. My big point that I see is as a significant challenge point for you as a leader. Daniel, what do you got?
My thought sort of relates to that. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and being that he is Lord of the Sabbath, obviously he has things to say about how the Sabbath is observed.
Indeed.
And that expands to a lot of other different things. And the way that impacts this session is that you had Pharisees, you had people who were taking issue with Jesus healing on the Sabbath. And that kind of raises the question for us about the Sabbath was law, but even the law is subservient to Christ. We have traditions up the wazoo in our churches and our culture, our communities, and these can be good things, they can be wholesome, worthwhile things, but they also should be subservient to Jesus, who's Lord over everything. And we need to make sure that the things that we are holding to are the main things, that the primary things. We're holding to the gospel, we're holding to the Trinity, holding the salvation by grace alone through faith alone. And lots of other things are lesser matters that, you know, they're important and they're good, but we need to make sure we're not holding up some things as impeding people from seeing or hearing the gospel or believing the gospel or being considered full brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to just be mindful about our traditions. We need to be mindful about the things that we're lifting up and holding to.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what is one encouragement that we would have for leaders?
The paralytic was healed and given strength, the ability to stand up, pick up his mat, and walk. An encouragement is that similarly, we have been saved so that we can get up and walk in holiness. Leaders, just be encouraged today to walk in holiness. And that's not a simple thing. It's not, here, let me tell you, walk in holiness, go and do it. It's not a simple thing, but it is a worthwhile thing to aim for. It's a worthwhile thing to do. And not just for ourselves, but it's for the sake of others who we are leading, teaching, those who are following after us, our families, people who are watching us. Our walk matters. It matters for the glory of our Savior. It matters as encouragement for our group. So let us be mindful about our walk, that it would be holy. And even when it's not, let us be repentant and trust again on the holiness of Christ, because that is ultimately where our salvation comes from.
Daniel, that is a really great encouragement. I think that is, I hope that is something that's going to be really helpful for for everyone who is leading leading a group through the Gospel Project this week. We are called to be holy as God is holy. We are, and we are empowered by God to pursue holiness. With His help, we won't ever achieve it perfectly here in this life, but we're going to get a little bit closer today than we were yesterday, and hope, and Lord willing, tomorrow a little bit better than today, and on and on and on. We need to just keep moving forward, pursuing that, as it's been said, you know, that long obedience in the same direction, recognizing that it's not going to be instant, that it's not going to be without setbacks, that it's not going to be perfect, but it will be good. So Daniel, that is a good place, I think, for us to wrap up. So thank you for listening to this week's Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Adults. For more resources to help you guide your group through this session, please visit gospelproject.com.